Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Well, today we're continuing our study in the book of James. We'll be looking at James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. So turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to James chapter 1. I'll begin reading in verse number 5. The Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Now, previous to this, we have looked at what James says about when trials and testings come into the lives of believers. Remember, he has written this book, addressed it to Christian Jews who are scattered outside of the land of Palestine. It's applicable to all Christians. But the idea is, previously we learned that when we face testings in our life, we should choose joy. We realize that God is doing a work in our lives. He's trying to teach us something. We may not always understand the whys, but we know that God loves us and He cares for us, that a Christian should choose joy. How in the world does that happen? Well, immediately in verse number 5, James introduces the need to ask God for wisdom. The neat thing about verse number 5 is it's one of the promises in the Bible that God makes to believers. So verse 5 is actually a promise. Now, if we look to the book of James as a book of wisdom in the New Testament, certainly we look at the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament as a book of wisdom. So I'm going to share some scripture with you from Proverbs that parallels what James is teaching in the book of James. And it's found in Proverbs chapter number 3, and I want to begin reading verses 5 through 8, just as it is in James. But this is what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Then I like verse 7. "Be not wise in thine own eyes." Let me stop there for just a moment. James is going to give us a promise that if we will ask God for wisdom, and we ask it in the right way, God's going to answer that prayer. And the writer of the book of Proverbs, he reminds us as well, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." So the wisdom we're dealing with today is wisdom that comes from the Lord. Let me read on in Proverbs. "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Dr. Robert Jeffers, he wrote this. He said, "If you want wisdom, the ability to see your life from God's point of view, then James said you ought to ask God to give you wisdom." In verse number 5, we have the source of wisdom. James writes, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So what is wisdom today? Well, wisdom is much more than knowledge. We can memorize all the books, the encyclopedias and whatnot, and all of those things, and yet still not have wisdom. So wisdom is much more than knowledge. Wisdom includes the ability to apply biblical knowledge to life. How foolish it would be to ask God to give us wisdom and not take time to learn and read from the book of wisdom, the scriptures themselves. I want to remind us that a lot of the wisdom that God promises us is already included in the Word of God. And if you're a Christian, it's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us that's able to take the Word of God and to give us a wisdom that comes from God. And then there's other times we'll face trials and testings and so forth that If we'll be sensitive and obedient to the Spirit's leading, God will give us wisdom to deal with that trial, to deal with that testing. The point is, James makes it very clear, true wisdom only comes from God. We live in a world of educated fools today. Only God has the answers that we seek. Let us consider Job, for example, as a good example of the need for God's wisdom. If you remember in the life of Job, he lost his prosperity, he lost his wealth, he also lost his children, he lost his health. We read about Job scraping his skin with postures, pieces of pottery where the pus had collected, and so forth. He lost everything, but he didn't lose God. He was left with a wife whose counsel was to curse God and die. His friends proceeded to opinionate why this happened, and they found out that, you know, their counsel was, Job, there must have been something that you did for God to do this to you. They were a discouragement to Job instead of being an encouragement. And Job himself at times must have asked the question, why? Why me? But as we read on in the book of Job, while God is silent, finally he does answer. And when God speaks, everything got quiet. And God asked the question, where were you, Job, when I created creation? And Job couldn't answer because God was his focus now. He couldn't think about the whys because he didn't need to know the answer to the whys. Wisdom focuses on the who and not the why. And that's exactly where God took Job, to realize that God was behind all of the testing in his life, and it was he Job drew near to. We have the example of Christ in Matthew 26:42, where the scripture says he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. The greatest trial, the greatest testing anyone has ever faced was when Jesus faced partaking of that cup, dying for our sins, taking all of my sin and your sin upon himself, and drinking of that cup, the greatest test that anyone has ever taken. And yet Jesus said, not my will, but thy be done, focusing on the will of the Heavenly Father. And that's exactly what we need to do. As we grow in wisdom and knowledge, wisdom focuses on the who, God himself, working in our lives and not the whys. And then, secondly, we move from the source of wisdom in verse 5 to the secret of wisdom in verse number 6. James says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So if we're going to ask for wisdom, we need to ask the way James instructs us to, in faith. So the secret to wisdom is faith. Robert Jeffress's book, How to Know If You're Really Saved, commentary on the book of James, he writes this. Now it's important to remember what faith is. Faith is not the assurance that God is going to do what we want him to do. We don't know if God's going to do what we want or not. Thinking that if you're going to conjure up some positive emotion, then God will do what you want, that's presumption. That's not faith. No, faith is the confidence that God is going to do what he has promised to do. That's true faith. It is boldly asking God for what is in our hearts while quietly resting in his will. Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, we say to our Heavenly Father, not my will, but yours be done. And so the secret to wisdom is faith. Now, how could we not look at this without looking at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me also share with you that same scripture, but now I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. And it says this in chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." The Amplified Bible brings out more information on what these Greek words mean concerning faith. The secret to wisdom is faith. Faith, then, is us trusting God to keep His word. Faith is a gift from God. In fact, nobody can ever get saved, have a home in heaven, unless they've exercised faith. And so faith is a gift from God. So if we have the faith to trust Christ as our Savior, James is reminding us it's that same faith that we're to live day by day by day. It's the secret for wisdom going through our lives. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, when you go to the end of the chapter, towards the end, he's listed all of these heroes of the faith, and then he gets to verse 39 in Hebrews 11, and the Bible says this, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." You look at Abraham, for example. He believed what God said about the coming of an heir, the promise of the Messiah, and yet during his lifetime, he didn't see it. And so many of these heroes of the faith, they did not see the coming of the Lord, his first coming. And yet they believed. Why? Because they exercised faith. You and I, we're waiting for the second coming of Christ. But by faith, I know that Jesus is coming again because I believe that God is going to keep his word. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." The secret to wisdom is to trust in God's purpose in and sovereignty over our lives, knowing Christ as Savior and Lord, and obeying his word. In Psalm 119, beginning of verse 98, the psalmist wrote, "Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." And then James tells us, listen, the secret to wisdom is faith. And if you need wisdom, you have to ask. We need to ask God. Consider Solomon in the Old Testament. God raised him up to take the place of his father David as king of Israel. Solomon had this vision or this dream, and God asked him, "What do you need, Solomon? What can I give you?" And Solomon said he needed wisdom to judge the people. And God said, "Because you asked that, I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you all these other things as well." And Solomon is known as the wisest man in the Old Testament. In fact, he was the wisest man until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we consider Solomon, who had to ask to receive this wisdom from God. Then the last point we want to make today is in verse 5 is the source of wisdom. In verse 6, the first part is the secret to wisdom. And then the last part of verse 6 through verse 8 is the scarcity of wisdom. So James is writing here in verse number 6. He says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." A man who wavers is driven by circumstances and indecision. James is describing a doubter here in verse number 6. The Bible says clearly in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him," referring to God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall receive. A man who wavers lacks sincerity in his prayer request. A man who wavers is lacking in faith. Why? Because he's not trusting God. He's not coming to God with the sincerity that he believes God is going to answer his prayer. James went on in verse number 7 and said, For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That's an interesting verse. So I was reading a commentary by Simon Kistemaker. This is what he said about verse 7. He writes, James calls the person who doubts that man. Look at verse 7 again, for let not that man. And then Kistemaker goes on. The wording exhibits disdain. That man doubts the truthfulness of God's power and promises. He asks God for wisdom, but doubts whether God will give it to him. One moment he prays, but the next moment he ignores God. His prayer, if it is prayer, is not supported by faith. Then in verse number 8, James writes this, A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So as we combine verses 6, 7, and 8, and we look at the doubter, we look at the scarcity of wisdom, he's a double-minded man. He can't make up his mind. We want to consider Job, we've considered Solomon, now let us consider Elijah. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. And the story, let me give you just a little bit of background on the story. At this time, Israel was trying to serve Baal and trying to serve God at the same time, and that's just not possible. For when you're serving an idol or you're serving a false god, you cannot please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't believe God, you don't trust His word, it doesn't matter what else you're doing, that's not serving God. And that's kind of where Israel was at. They were trying to serve Baal. They were trying to serve God. And so God had Elijah get all of these prophets of Baal together, and he had the children of Israel together. And he said in verse 21 of 1 Kings 18, Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. What happened was they put together or repaired these altars, and Elijah said, Okay, you prophets of Baal, you pray unto your God, have him send fire down on your sacrifice. The prophets of Baal did that for quite a while, and nothing was happening. In fact, it was so bad that Elijah was making fun of them, saying, well, maybe he's gone, he's busy. And they'd cut themselves. There was no answer for the prophets of Baal. And then Elijah's turn came, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, and he gathered the sacrifice, the wood, and he said, get some water and pour on the wood. And he had dug a trench or a ditch around this altar. And three times, I believe it was, he had them pour water upon this sacrifice. What's really interesting is, at that time, Israel was in a tremendous drought. It had not rained. And yet, Elijah requested that they put water upon this sacrifice. And he says a short prayer, and God answers from heaven and licked up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and all the water out of the ditch. And that's when Elijah came to the people, and he said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The Life Application Bible Commentary says this: we can live a single-minded life of trust in God, where every experience, including the trials we fall into, is another step in the process of becoming mature and complete persons. The point is, this is what God wants us to do. When James opens up his book, and as we learned last time, when we face a trial, a testing in our life as a Christian, we are to choose joy. Why? Because God is God. He's working in our lives. He's building us up and he's strengthening us. One preacher said this: God tests us that we would learn to stand, but he never tempts us. Satan tempts to make us fall. God tests us that we might stand. And so if we are going to stand in the midst of trials and sorrows that come into our life, we're to face it with joy. But that's so contrary to what we do today. The natural tendency is to doubt or to fear or even get angry when bad things come into our lives. But for a Christian, God uses those things to teach us endurance. And we're not to be as a double-minded man. My friend, God has given us a promise in verse 5. That promise is, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. God's not going to hold anything back, and upbraideth not. He's not going to scold us for asking. And it says, and it shall be given him. But we have to come to God God's way, and that's to ask in faith, nothing wavering. And then God will give us that wisdom. I want to close with a wonderful example that's recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 9. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 9. As we've gone through this lesson about wisdom and faith, I don't want you to think that a Christian never goes through times of doubts and fears and all of that. Sometimes that's the trial itself, is that we're tempted to doubt. And there's a story in Mark chapter 9 that I want to close with, and it begins in verse number 17. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 17, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I can only imagine what this was like for this father to have his son demon-possessed and going through all of this from a child and just looking and begging Jesus to help him. In verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. He's talking about if you can have faith, the secret to wisdom. If you can have faith, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I like the response from the father. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, he might have had some doubts and some fears, but he truly did believe. And that's what James is telling us. Don't be concerned about bouts of doubts and fears. Believe. Faith is the secret to wisdom. May God bless you until next time.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.